Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Welcome back to Risen Motherhood. Emily and Laura here, excited to do part two of the grandparent show.
Oh yeah,
here we go. This is kind of the big beast part of the show. I feel like we're tackling a little bit of the tougher side, but I think it'll be good.
Yeah. So just as a reminder, last week we kind of talked about where we place our identity and wanting to put that in Christ, and then how our identity impacts our response to these grandparent relationships. So if you haven't heard it, definitely go back and listen, because that's what we're building off of. And I feel like you can't quite jump into some of these principles without having thought about the log in your own eye first.
Exactly. So just as a friendly reminder, most of you guys know, but we are sister-in-laws, which means that we share grandparents. My parents are Emily's in-laws, and many of them often listen to the show out of Emily's mom, my mother-in-law, my mom, all of those things. And so again, what we're talking about a lot today is hypotheticals. You guys shared with us on Instagram a lot of really great examples that helped us kind of get things going. And just know that we're not getting super personal, because we want to protect our own relationship with our in-laws as well.
Principle number one.
Yeah. Protect the family relationship.
And then I think another thing we just wanted to mention really quick, because this show is going to get into a little bit more practical principles, is that we really feel like we cannot speak into like the details of every specific situation. We know that there are like legitimate, hard, scary things that happen in grandparent-grandchild relationships, and that there are things that really take serious consideration and counsel from others. So we just want to encourage you, like, definitely listen to this, let it get the ball rolling. Maybe it'll trigger an idea, but in the end, you probably need to bring in somebody who is wiser, that can counsel you, that knows your situation.
And is wiser than us.
Yeah, way wiser than us. Lived a little bit longer, has kids a little bit older. Exactly. So our hope is just to like, just share some of the things we've learned as we've kind of walked through relationships with grandparents.
Yeah, and just a quick recap of last week's show. Just remembering that when we have the gospel in mind to our responses, we know that we don't have to be threatened by other people. We don't have to be threatened by the mother-in-law or our own parents. But a mom who's remembering the gospel, she's going to be humble, quiet-spirited, patient, wise, and desiring to honor her children's grandparents as she lays down her own pride, lays down her control, because she trusts in the Lord. So this week we're getting down to that nitty-gritty practical, but first I think we're going to talk through a little bit of the gospel. Mm-hmm. We cannot have Risen Motherhood without the gospel. So we're going to talk a little bit about what does the gospel have to do with grandparents and relationships?
Yeah. And we know that God originally created relationships to be peaceful and whole and to be rooted and grounded in Him. In the garden, Adam and Eve loved one another well, and they didn't use one another for their own means and ends until sin entered, and then relationships were broken. And that wasn't just the marriage relationship, that was parent to child, generation to generation. You see all of those types of family stories. I mean, just skim through the Old Testament and you'll see all kinds of messed up things that families are dealing with, you know, divorce, remarriage, family, single parents, early deaths of parents, all of those things can just really infiltrate relationships, and they're just all broken by sin.
Yeah, it makes the relationship sort of messy and confusing for sure. So, but because of Christ's sacrifice, we know that we can, because of His love for us, we can pour that out to others, even when people are acting unlovable. The thing we want to remember here is that always the person and work of Jesus Christ should motivate our behaviors to love our in-laws, to love our own parents unconditionally. So I think that a lot of these things that we're talking about are gray areas. A lot of the frustration points that we hit with grandparents are of some importance, but they're not of ultimate importance, and they aren't our identity. So I think that we can remember that even if a grandparent wants us to do things differently or suggest different ways or whatever they're doing, they're not where we're finding our hope. Their approval of us isn't ultimately where it is. Because of Christ's sacrifice, we can now live with a secure identity before the throne, knowing that as we trust and walk with the Lord, like we are in secure communion with him, and that our responses don't have to rise or fall depending upon how grandma or grandpa did that day.
Yeah, and I think something we mentioned on the last show that's worth bringing up again is just how much grace costs. It is really costly. If you look in the Old Testament, all the bloodiness of the sacrifice and the hundreds of thousands or millions of animals that had to be killed for the ceremonial laws to be fulfilled. And then you look at Christ having to die for our sins. And so when we come into these relationships with our grandparents, I keep saying
it's hard to say, remember.
Our kids as grandparents, we have to remember that grace in these relationships is going to cost us something too. And like Laura said, their motivation for that is because we know how much we've been forgiven and how costly that was.
Yeah, and because of a sacrifice too, we can encourage the differences that our grandparents, see, I did it now, our children's grandparents bring to the table. Those differences, we don't have to see them as barriers anymore, but opportunities for us to learn and grow in our role as mothers and as just people who can see over beyond the differences and see that, hey, one thing that Emily and I talk about is that because we're blessed to have believing parents, that shows our kids that everybody has a unique and individual relationship with Christ.
Yes.
And they can see the different ways that that plays out and that, hey, it's not just mom and dad's faith. Mm-hmm. Like it's grandma and grandpa believe this too. And it looks different for them. And I can have my own unique and special relationship with Jesus Christ too, because they're seeing it lived out in multiple people beyond just hearing it from you. So it's really a blessing. It's a huge blessing if you have believing grandparents. I mean, that's something to be grateful for up and down the block.
Praise Jesus if that's you. Mm-hmm. So the main thing I think we wanted to bring out in this show and the way the gospel applies is like your kids as grandparents are like your neighbors.
Yes.
Like love your neighbor well. This is part of the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. They are part of that. You know, care about their interests. Be willing to lay down your own agenda before the throne of God and treat others with grace and kindness. So now that gets into the little bit nitty gritty, like practically, what does that look like?
But, hard. We're calling them principles.
Principles,
today.
Yes.
Because Emily and I don't like the word practical because we feel like, you know, we don't really know what we're doing. And so we
FYI, we don't know what we're doing.
FYI. So we really enjoy the word principles for this particular one. But basically, a big principle to remember is that your children are your children. If we look at Ephesians 6, 1-4, you know, it tells us that it's our job to raise our children and instruct them in the way that they should go. So ultimately, this is good news because that means that we don't have to listen to our mothers or our mother-in-law's advice on how to raise our child, but that you and your husband do have the final say. Ultimately, while you're supposed to honor your parents, you do not have to obey them anymore now that you've taken on that parenting role.
Yeah. And I think remembering like our allegiance is to Christ. What does he say? Like, you should hate everyone else, including your family, in comparison to how much you love Christ. And so together with our husbands, we get an opportunity to set the boundaries and the guidelines for our family and to uphold those. I think the kicker is, again, going back to the last episode, we don't do that to spite the grandparents or to punish the grandparents because they're not doing what we want. We do that because we've genuinely decided that's what's best for our family.
Yeah, that's a tricky line. You got to be careful.
Yeah.
Okay, so in general, we want to always remember to let our words and actions be seasoned with grace. So this goes back to the idea that we were just talking about of honoring your mother and father still and your husband's mother and father, but also knowing that you don't have to obey them. You are not under that any longer. And so how are your speech and actions modeling that? Because your own children are watching and someday, gosh darn it, you're probably thinking, I want to be honored still. You know, you want them. They're going to watch you. Yeah. And so it's really important that you're modeling those behaviors today because they're going to do that to you in 30 years or something.
Yeah. So some of the ways we can honor grandparents is just to value the relationship. And whether that's that you live really close to them. I mean, I literally live right next door to
literally you guys. It's amazing for her.
Live right next door to a set of grandparents and not very far from the others. And being intentional when you're in town about honoring those relationships and spending time together in healthy ways, or you live further away from them, like Laura does, maybe she can share a few examples.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting, different dynamic dynamic that I think you have, whether you live in town versus out of town. And so I know we've had to really make the connections really important and intentional. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to work pretty hard. Mm-hmm. So we call and FaceTime, we do Voxer. Maybe I'll have my kids color a picture. We'll mail it to grandma and grandpa. So there are a lot of touch points that mm-hmm. I want my kids to have with grandparents, but I have to work hard at that. But Emily, something you've talked about, I know mm-hmm. is like not feeling like, you know, here's the rules, all rule after yes. rule after rule.
Yeah. And like making sure like grandparents can be grandparents. I think that's hopefully one way we can honor them, because we live so close and we do so much life with them. It's important that we still allow like a lot of those fun connections and some of those organic interactions to happen and not have it be like, can you just help us with childcare like 24/7 and like take all of our burdens? You know, mm-hmm. we want to have that attitude of prioritizing the relationship.
Exactly. So, and then also being really grateful for the things that they do well. So I think a lot of times, mm-hmm. especially the reason we're doing the show is because we can all think of the things where we're like, oh, I really wish this area would be improved, or they would listen to me on that. But one thing we want to always do with any relationship, but mm-hmm. particularly with grandparents, is affirm them in those areas that they do well. So instead of focusing on all the negative things, find those things that your children's grandparents are doing well and vocalize it. Write it in a note, or, you know, have your child like sing them a little song or something mm-hmm. like that. But it's a huge gift that you have parents or in-laws that are involved in your yes. child's life. And so you want to take that time to pay them a compliment, and it helps give them confidence. And really, like, if you're like, I like them doing this, you want them to keep doing
it. Yeah, practically, like, it just reinforces like the good thing. And so especially, yeah, I know too, our kids as grandparents are sometimes strong in areas that my husband and I are weak just as parents, or they give our kids experiences that we aren't giving them for whatever reason. And just see those areas where you guys can overlap together and just train the children well.
Yeah. And so then we're kind of getting into a little bit, though.
The battles.
Some of the battles. But remembering, and I think we talked about this on the last show, but a lot of those things are disputable matters or gray areas. They're of some value, of some importance, but they are not the ultimate. So we always want to keep that proper perspective of, well, sometimes I have made big deals out of things that shouldn't have been.
Yeah, like the next day they didn't matter, or like 3 years, 5 years, 10 years later, they just don't matter anymore.
Yeah, it can feel like a really big deal to follow a sleep schedule, or follow, you know, I don't know, trying to think of like kind of some smaller things. I think we can all think of them. Making sure they drink the proper ounces from a bottle, maybe, or are wearing warm enough clothes, or are getting the right bedtime as a toddler, different things like that. And I think that we want to be careful about what kind of battles we choose, because you want them to be about probably spiritual things or real safety issues. Because if you're making a battle over every little thing, it's going to be much more difficult for the grandparent to really adhere your advice and be ready to listen, because it can kind of feel nitpicky. And so I know that's something that I fall into even now, where I feel like, oh, I want them to get a healthy meal. We're going to have a massive detox after this. It can just be really hard to feel like how to separate long-lasting things and short-term things that we see. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it is really hard. And I think whenever we have these battles too, it's just honoring grandparents as we have to approach a subject. And a lot of that goes back to, again, show one, looking at our own hearts, looking at our own motives, trying to do everything we can up front to prepare our children well for whatever the thing is they're going to come up against. It's communicating well with our husbands so we have a plan. It's being proactive and all of those good things, so that if and when something does have to be brought up, which hopefully shouldn't be, you know, all the time. It can really be taken seriously and heated, and they feel loved, even if they don't understand why you brought that thing up, or they're hurt by it in some way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think something too that Emily and I we both were just kind of laughing about this, but we feel like you get better at having a relationship with grandparents.
Yes.
You get better.
Praise the Lord.
You know, the first child is always a little bit bumpy. Yeah. Everyone's adjusting to new roles. You're trying to figure out, you know, what are my boundaries? How do I draw them? How do I keep a great relationship, but also feel like you both want to feel loved and respected, and you're just not sure all the time how to do that.
Or like, how do I talk to my husband about something that happened with his mom. I mean, there's just a ton of dynamics.
It's a huge learning
curve to figure out, especially if you have like the first grandchild in the family.
If you have siblings who have gone before you, thank them. Give them a big thank you. I have given my big brothers a thank you because I know that they have paved the way and they've all kind of, I've reaped some benefit, I think, from some of their.
Yeah. But we wanted to encourage you guys that like, you know, we're not very far along in this journey. Yeah. What I have, again, a 5-year-old is my oldest.
Yeah, mine's 4.
But I feel like we've already gotten better, my husband and I, at, you know, just like navigating some of these things. And it just doesn't feel like quite as big of a deal as it did earlier on. And even then, I look back, I'm like, I don't know that those things were that big of a deal, but they felt like it. It felt real. It feels really hard and really hurtful. And I think it just takes time of pressing through and trying to do these things of rooting your identity in Christ and then approaching the situation based on that and trying to love and honor grandparents. It reaps a lot of good fruit in the long term.
Mm-hmm. And I think something else we've heard from some of you that there are some really difficult situations that, you know, maybe your child has special needs and they need medication and maybe your grandparent is just forgetting to do that. Or for some reason or another, they're unable to execute that. Maybe their health isn't good enough to take care of the kids, but they don't really think it is. Yeah. Or there could be a multitude of reasons. And we want to first say, like, we can't speak into every situation because we need to have thousands of cups of coffee with all of you.
Thousands of hours of good conversation with all the background.
Yes, to hear everything. And so we just want to encourage you that if you are dealing with like a really difficult situation, one thing I heard from another wise mom is she just said, like, I had to learn to be okay with not everything being okay. Yeah. And that sometimes there are some situations where you're going to misunderstand each other and that you are going to have to say, my husband and I have evaluated this. We talked about this. We are on the same page. We believe before the Lord that we have thought this through with pure motives. And here is where our boundary line is. Mm-hmm. And you have to be okay with them maybe not understanding that or maybe not being okay with it. Mm-hmm. But you have to have safety for your child in place.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that the gospel frees us to do is be in situations where the circumstances haven't cleared themselves up yet. You know, God does not promise us, oh, the answer to every problem is going to be, I just fix it. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to learn in everything in life to live in this tension where we're walking, Lord willing, according to the Spirit in hard situations. Mm-hmm. And I think that is just as much a picture of the gospel, even more so sometimes than the situation getting cleared up. So it's definitely real. It's definitely hard to be in those ongoing situations, but God can give grace for that and people can speak into that know you, I think.
Yep. So we encourage you to get with other women who can hear you and give you sound biblical advice for a lot of your situation, because those are real realities and we don't want to undermine that. We know we've been really blessed with really healthy relationships with our children's grandparents. But we just want to encourage you that if you are in that place, that is a very difficult spot, but there is gospel hope for that as well.
Okay. So, I think another thing is just being unified with your husband. That's a good point to bring up at the end here. I know sometimes when it's your parents versus their parents, all of those things can get dramatic. So I think always for us to just remembering, we are sitting on the same side of the table. We are the family unit. Like Laura said, being unified there and then figuring out how to approach it is super important.
So in closing, we just hope that you guys take away that first off, the most important thing to do is to look at yourself. Going back to show one, I know we keep harping on it, but it's to really evaluate your own heart, your own motivations, and where are you overreacting and where are you going to draw that line of what is of most and ultimate importance? But just looking and saying, how can I allow my identity in Christ to like not be shaken by every little thing or rattled by everything that my children's grandparent does?
But yeah. And then kind of after we've examined our own hearts and we've wondered, hey, where am I putting my hope and my worship? Then trying to figure out, with the help of others, maybe your husband, maybe other people at your church, whoever you can trust to say, can you help us navigate this in a way that's going to love and honor the grandparents of our children well and is ultimately going to be a display of God's love in those situations? Mm-hmm. And that is going to play itself out way different in every situation.
Yeah, because you're dealing with sinners.
Yep, and you're a sinner.
Yes, we are all sinners, which always makes lots of conflict and tension in relationships. But thankfully, because of the cross, we can come and those relationships can be renewed and restored. So we hope that you guys just take some encouragement from this show and feel like you can have a couple next steps or just some things to think about going forward. And we, I guess, check out our show notes is the next step. Yeah, we'll probably have some articles linked in there to help you dig a little bit deeper into this topic. And please, if you have time, give us a rating and review on iTunes. Those mean a lot to us and really help other people find the show. And then come find us on social media. We'll be talking about this topic all week, hopefully. And we are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, @RisenMotherhood on all the platforms. So thanks for joining us.